Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome, everyone, to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, so excited to be here with Carla Winchester.
Tim, thank you so much for having me here today.
I had a conversation, Carla, with another superstar in the industry, Beth Doty. This leader in economic development has a level of commitment to her community like I've never seen. She's done now, I think it's two different stints in the Roanoke area, in the Roanoke region. She served as president of the chamber there, and she's now executive director of the regional partnership, and she's been doing that work for over 8 years. She's also very active in the Virginia Economic Developers Association. She continues to lead this team of folks. When I was talking to Beth, we talked about her team and the passion her team has, and she's really built a group of people in an organization that is making a difference in Roanoke. I mean, it is amazing the work they do. You'll hear Beth's passion. You'll hear her foresights into the future of our industry. You'll hear what makes her heart yearn for this industry we all love and call our work economic development. So, ladies and gentlemen, take out your notebooks. Get ready to learn from one of the best in the game, Miss Beth Doty. Beth, welcome to the call. We're so excited to have you on today. Congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers and on all the great work you're doing there at the Roanoke Partnership. How's it going?
It's going great. Things are really popping, and we're excited about opportunities in the future.
Well, I certainly like to be around things that are popping. Let me jump back to the beginning of your career so that people understand kind of the context for how you come to this work. How'd you get your start in economic development?
Well, I really got my start in economic development as having a background in advertising and marketing, and I had a lot of clients that were in the economic development arena, localities and regional groups, and so eventually I just went to work for one of them.
Wow. So through relationship you got in.
I did. I always had a keen interest in it, but I think the trust and the relationship that I built with the regional group here in Roanoke, Virginia, led to opportunity. So I came in to handle the marketing in-house, and then when the executive director moved on to greener pastures, I was made executive director. So I've been executive director actually twice in this organization. I left in the middle for about 8 years as president of the regional chamber here. Now, in Virginia, chambers and regional economic development organizations are separate entities. So I went over to the chamber side, which was really invaluable to kind of understand the public policy foundation of economic development. So I think when I came back to this job after my time at the chamber, I was a more well-rounded economic developer.
What do you think after those experiences of both the chamber, kind of small business, public policy side of the business, and then your years of experience on the other side of economic development? When you look back at all of that, what do you think the current state of economic development is, right? I mean, you've seen so many different ebbs and flows of the industry. How are we doing right now?
I think economic development is changing. I think it's changing at a faster pace than it ever has. And what it's moving toward is a more holistic approach, not just marketing, that marketing's the answer to everything. I think modern economic development should be as much about capacity building as anything else. And a lot of non-practitioners, all they do is talk about marketing and economic development as if telling the story is enough. But we really have to create that story through capacity building. And I think that that's been a natural evolution for economic development. And I think it's the potential for the future, too.
I've had the pleasure of meeting several of your team members. And you've got a great team of very passionate people. Tell me, as the leader of that great team, as the coach of that great team, what's the most important decision you make as executive director?
Well, you know, the people you choose for your team, that's fundamental. But I think the most important decision you make is deciding to let go of those people so that their talents can bloom. What you want to be able to do is really take advantage of not only their talents, but, you know, the different perspectives. And I have to say, as a leader, that's a big change in me over the last 10 years, is understanding really the incredible, unique skills and perspectives that your teammates have and how you can leverage them for the advantage of the entire organization, as well as letting them grow as professionals and come closer to their next opportunity.
No question about it. Let's stay right there on your team and the way you approach building a team. When you think about economic development when you started and the types of people you were looking for at that time, and you juxtapose that against the type of individual you're looking for today, what are the differences in the individual you're looking for to do this work?
Well, you know, I started my career in advertising, and I was a copywriter and I was a creative director. I put a huge premium on creativity. So in one sense, I think what I look for now, because this is a changing dynamic field, is a creative thinking gene in the people that are on my team, so that they can always be thinking how to reinvent, how to not only just do it better next time, but do it differently next time for different and greater results. Also, too, you know, when I started my career, we used carbon paper. So you can see, you know, that technological skills are really important. And I don't mean working at a computer. I mean identifying new technologies, embracing those technologies, and putting them to use to advance the ball.
No question about it. You also have a strong board and organization there. I mean, you've got, we could stay on the phone for an hour about the team, right, and the organization you built. What I want to transition to now is kind of at a high level, going back over what we can learn from your experiences. So failure, as you know, is important. It's a universal part of being a leader or leading in any organization. Could you share with us a failure you may have had as an economic developer and what you learned about yourself and the work from it?
Well, I always learn more from failures than successes. Successes are sweeter. They feel a whole lot better, but you always learn more from failures because those failures give you incentive and they give you direction if you know how to read the failure and dissect it and analyze it to do better next time. So several years ago, we lost a location project because we tried to tell a story that was kind of a stretch. It was kind of aspirational. I don't really ever do that again. You know, I learned that it's really important in creating your narrative to stay true and grounded in your region's values and, you know, craft your appeal around those values. You won't appeal to everybody, but you will be able to deliver on your promises more easily. You can never try to be something you're not. And I think any audience can see through that, and it hinders your ability to deliver down the line if you're able to fool them, so to speak.
You're absolutely right. And we're hearing the same message from the site selection community, right? Just be who you are and tell us who you are. When you think about economic development and organizational development, of which you have to do both to be a great leader in this field, one of the business leaders I really pay attention to is consistently asking his team, how are we building the type of business that would put us out of business? The question I'd like to ask you is to compare that to your work in economic development. How are you and your organization building the kind of community there in Virginia that would beat your current community?
I think it's about embracing change, welcoming change, and seeing change as an opportunity to improve. I think it's about anticipating kind of shifting thought, anticipating being on the front end of intelligence, you know, more of a kind of market intelligence and common wisdom. If you're a thought leader as an economic developer, you are moving your region ahead, you're moving your organization ahead, and when you get ahead, you kind of have to reinvent yourself, not only to keep the progress going, but to be, you know, as responsive and productive and effective as you can be as an organization.
No question about it. I want to transfer now to a rapid fire question. I'll give you a word that is synonymous with our industry, and you just give me the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready to go?
Okay. I'm ready.
Workforce development.
Talent is the currency of the 21st century, and I think that we can never take our mind off of that as economic developers in 2016.
The state of professional development in economic development.
You know, I mentioned earlier about I think economic development is evolving into something that's more holistic, and I think that professional development should be holistic too. You have to look at all kinds of different opportunities to make yourself a better person that becomes a better professional.
No question about it. How about the future of economic development as an industry?
Well, you know, I'm about embracing change. I don't know that I'm good at, and it depends on how far into the future you're talking. So I'm not sure. You know, I always think that there's going to be a need to have an impact on the creation of prosperity and opportunity. Some of it happens by itself, but a lot of it doesn't happen. It does need nurturing. And so I think that as a profession and as a function of the local business infrastructure, it's going to be important moving into the future. I think it's just going to be different in how we deliver.
Incentives.
Well, on the one hand, I think incentives are here to stay. But I would really hope in a perfect world that we could relook at incentives instead of becoming a contest or have the ability to look at incentive programs and expand how we develop them, how we handle them, how we deliver them, so that they apply to a broad range of opportunities, different kinds of businesses, different kinds of situations, different kinds of opportunities.
Final question here, Beth. When you think about the year 2025, let's go forward almost 10 years from now. The most relevant and impactful economic developers will have blank in common.
A focus on data and metrics. I think we're just starting to focus on the value of data in not only identifying opportunity, but demonstrating value. I think that substantive metrics in the future will not be about reporting jobs, but focusing on the improvement of the human condition through economic development.
And some would argue the improvement of the human condition is the definition of leadership in a community. Beth, you've demonstrated that. Thank you so much for being on the call today. And congratulations on being one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the opportunity. I love economic development and I love to talk about it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please tweet me at Ron Kitchens.